Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Samach Amud Bet at the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, or the 15th parak of Seder of Masechet Nezikin, which is devoted almost exclusively to the issues of the prohibition of Neshech and Rebit, the prohibition against usury. Let's take a look at how that develops in the Gemara, but first the Mishnah, Ezu Neshech ve'Ezuhu Tarbit. The Torah prohibits Neshech and Tarbit, as you can see in the first Pasuk on the page. So what's the difference between them? Ezu Neshech, Hamalveh Sela b'chamisha dinarim, to lend, a dollar for a dollar and a quarter. Sataim chitin b'shalosh asur, or two seot of wheat for three, is asur, neshu noshech, meaning you are literally biting him. That's why it's called Neshech. You're literally biting into the other fellow's stuff. He's getting two from you, and he has to pay three. Now, the word Neshech seems to refer more to the victim who's being bitten, as it were. The word Rebit seems to refer more to the person taking advantage, the usurer, because he is gaining. He is getting harbay. What's Tarbit? And the case that's given here is one that is somewhat complex, and also that's Rebit the Rabbanan, as we'll see right away in the Gemara. Hamarbe peperot, this is what Tarbit is. Ketzat, lakachim enochitin medinar zahav hakur, let's say you bought wheat that was at the price of one dinar for a kur, and then v'chein ashar, that was the proper market value. Amdu chitin v'shloshim dinarim, before you took the chitim from him, as you paid him, but before you took the chitim from him, the market value, went up to, instead of 25, which is a dinar zahav, it went up to 30. All right, so it went up by a sixth. Marlo tainli chitai. So then you said, give me my wheat, which is now worth 30. I paid you 20, which is now worth 30. Shani rotzel machron v'dikach b'enyayin, because I want to take them and now buy wine that I can get for that 30. Amarlo, so the seller then says to him, harei chitacha asuyot alai b'shtoshim, I will credit you as if it's worth 30. For elachat slib mahen yain, and now you can collect wine from me at 30. V'yayin ein lo, but in the meantime, he doesn't have wine, and then there's a concern that later on, because the price of wine will go up, there will be indeed rebit. Okay, so now the Gemara immediately is going to present some general statements about Neshech. But first, to analyze the second case in the Gemara, Midashavik, Levibito, right, to become Farish to Rabbanon. As I mentioned, the example that they gave of Rebit is not Rebit to Oraita, it's Rebit to Rabbanon. Michlal, the Oraita, the Neshech, the Tarbit, Chanamiltahi. So clearly, Neshech and Rebit is one thing. And so in the opening line of the Mishnah, they said, what's Neshech? And they said it's four for five, basically. Straight up, lending $4 to get five back. Then that's Neshech, and that is Tarbit. And then later on, they go in explaining in the Mishnah, they give the example of the Rebit Rabbanan. V'hakra iktivi Neshech kesef Rebit Ochel. But if you take a look at the first Pasuk, you'll see that it refers to Neshech kesef, meaning Neshech of money, and Rebit of food. So they're two separate things. V'tis peradik, Neshech below Tarbit, Tarbit below Neshech. But think about it. Is it possible to have Neshech without Tarbit, or Tarbit below Neshech? In other words, whenever one happens, the other one happens. Meaning, that whenever I'm gaining extra from you, you're losing something. So let's see if that's really possible. Neshech below Tarbit echidami. How could you have Neshech below Tarbit? Ida ozfe me'av me'av esrim. If I lend you 100, and then I lend you a coin that's worth 100 copper coins, and then the copper coins are devalued, so now 120 of them make up a coin. Mikarkai me'av edanka, vasof me'akai me'av esrim edanka. Originally 100 made up this coin, and now 120 make up the coin, so there really is no rebit here. Neshech ika, there is neshech in that it's eating into you, to konachit lei, because now you have to pay 20 more coins. To koshaka mine midi de lo yahiv, you have to give something that you didn't get. V'tarbit leika, but I, in the meantime, I, the lender, am not gaining anything. Why de leit le ravcha, I got no gain. The danka osfe v'danke koshaka mine, I lend you a silver coin, I got back a silver coin. The fact that copper coins went down means that you have to give me now 20 copper coins that you didn't get from me. I gave you 100 copper coins, which is one silver coin. You give me back 120 copper coins, so you might call that Neshech. Maybe. But certainly, that's no rebit for me. So there's your possible case of Neshech below Tarbit. But that's not true, because sof, ibata mikar azlat, if you look at the value at the beginning, Neshech v'ari Tarbit, there's both. because after all, I ate into you, you're giving me more. In the meantime, I'm also gaining, because I now got 120 copper coins worth of silver. Ibata basofa's lot, if on the other hand you look at the value at the end of the process, lo neshechika v'lo tarbitika. He didn't really lose anything, and I didn't really gain anything. So you never have neshech without tarbit, either you have both or you have neither. For two, let's try the opposite side. Tarbit below neshech echidami. How could you have tarbit below neshech? Meaning, one gaining without the other one losing. Ida osiv me'ab me'ab, if you lent 100 for 100. Mikara kami me'ab adan, call yourself me'ab b'chumushab. Originally, 100 made up a coin. And now that 100 makes up a smaller coin, meaning the coins, the copper coins went up. So me'ab originally made up a knanka, which is 6 ma'ah. And now it that amount of coins makes up 5 ma'ah. If you go after the original value, there's neither, because after all, I gave you a danka, I get back a danka. If you look at the end of the process, you get both. So in other words, what we've basically said is there's no way that you could have neshech without tarbit. So ella amarava I atamotze lo neshech v'lo tarbit v'lo tarbit v'lo neshech. But Rava already told us that there is no possible case of having one without the other. The only reason the Torah said you can't take neshech, you can't take tarbit, is to say there's two lavin, and any time that you lend on interest, in any sort of interest, it's d'oraita, you violate two lavin. And we have a bright that supports that. Tana Rabbanan et kas b'chalu t'ten lo neshech v'marbit lo t'ten ochlecha. There you see neshech b'kesef and marbit b'ochel. Ainly ala neshech because of arbit be'ochel. So all I know here is that you violate neshech if it's a money deal, and it's you violate ribit if you're giving food. Neshech be'ochel minayin. How do I know that you violate neshech also if you lend food? Tamalomar neshech ochel. The pasuk in Kitetzer is neshech ochel. Lo tashich lachicha neshech ochel neshech kesef neshech kol davar sheyishach. Rebeat b'kesef minayin. So how do I know the opposite? How do I know that if I do it with money, there's also rebeat besides neshech? Tamalomar neshech kesef. That's why it says neshech kesef in that pasuk in Dvarim. Imenu inyan l'neshech kesef sharei kvar ne'amar lo tashich l'achicha. After all, earlier in that pasuk, it says you're not allowed to lend, to bite into your friend, as it were. Now inyan rebeat kesef. So it must be that it's also that neshech kesef, which is in itself a superfluous term, is there to teach you ribit b'kesef. So I now know neshech b'kesef b'ochel, ribit b'kesef b'ochel. Ainly ala belove. So far, all I know is that the love himself violates it when he pays up. B'malvim inayin, how do I know that the lender is also liable? Nemar neshech belove, v'nemar neshech b'malve. Because the word neshech appears both in the context of the love and the malve. Just like the word neshech appears in the context of lova, I don't care whether he is paying extra money or extra food, and both the violation of neshech and rebit count. The same thing with neshech in the context of the lender. All applies across the board, which means whether it's food or whether it's money, from the perspective of the borrower or from the perspective of the lender, both violations happen automatically. How do I know that if it's not ochel or food, if it's something else? How do I know that's therefore the end of that pasuk in Dvarim is anything that is used as usury. Okay, Ravina Amar lo neshech ba'ochel v'lo ribit b'kesef tzrichikra. He says the Torah didn't really need to tell me that there's neshech ba'ochel and ribit b'kesef, which is the flip of what the pasuk says. Why the iktiv et kas b'chalo titeno b'neshech v'ochel chav marbit? If the Torah gave the noun of kesef, and then the modifier of neshech, and then ochlacha, the noun, and marbit, again, the process, kedika amar, it would say item, process, then you'd have a problem. I wouldn't know to flip them. And if you look at the first pasuk on the page, you see the two bold words, neshech and marbit, are next to each other. You can parse them two ways. Kari behachi, et kas b'chol ten lo neshech v'marbit, uv'neshech v'marbit lo ten ochlecha. So you could read, you can't give money for neshech and tarbit, and you also said, neshech v'marbit, you can't give food. So by putting them in the middle, the Torah really doesn't need to tell me both. It already has told me that both things apply to both, by placing them that way. Hatana nemar nemar kamar, but the Tana already said, how do I know this, nemar this, how, in other words, I used all the psukim to show me that I really need Neshech and Ribit apply to Ochel and Kesef, and I went through a whole process, which according to Ravina was unnecessary, so why did I do that? Hachikamar Ilo Nemar Kra, Hitomer Gzera Shava. And the Ravina says this is what the Tana meant. Had the Pasuk not been written in this unique way that allows us to parse it both ways and apply Neshech and Ribit to both, I would have then said the Gzera Shava of Neshech Neshech, Achshav Shinemar Kra, Gzera Shava Lo Tzarech. Now I don't need the Gzera Shava. So what's it for? The one thing that's left that's really not written anywhere, which is not food and not money, but anything else which is not written in the context of the lender. That I need the Gzera Shava for to tell me that just like it applies to a borrower, it applies to the lender. Okay. Amarav. Lamali dechata rachmana lav ribit, lav begeza lav ba'ona. Rava asks a general question which Ribit raises, which is, why did the Torah have to tell me that there's a prohibition against Ribit, and that Ribit Neshech, a prohibition of theft, and a prohibition of Onah? Think about it. That's one principle, which is, you're not allowed to take something that's not yours. That's basically what it is. The answer is Tzrichi. You need all three. Why di katav rachman ala b'ribit, if the Torah only said you can't take Ribit, shum dechidishu, because Ribit itself is an innovative, unusual thing. Why? Dafila belovas rachmana. The Torah even prohibited the lover from paying Ribit. He violates a law if he pays Ribit. So even the victim is a violator. Ikata rachmana lav begezel. If the Torah only told me gezel, well, that's easy. Mishum digbal korche, because that's against your will. So certainly if the Torah said you can't steal, that wouldn't tell me that you can't make an agreement with somebody to lend him money for interest, and that you can't sell something at an overmarket value. If the Torah only said onah, he doesn't know what's going on with his mochel, unlike usury. So the answer is, good. You could not have inferred any one of them from one of them, meaning if you only had gezel, only had ribit, only had onah, you couldn't get to any one of the others. But why don't we have the Torah say only two of them and infer the third? So, hey, Tete, which is to be the one that's inferred? So, let's say the Torah didn't say Ribit. So, the Torah would say that there's a prohibition of Onah and a prohibition of Gezel, and I'm supposed to figure out Ribit from there. That's not comparable, because I would say, sure, there, the victim has no knowledge of what's going on. Doesn't know that he certainly doesn't agree to being stolen from, and doesn't know the market value in the case of Onah. So Ribit midatav and Ribit, he knows what's going on. He agrees to pay 20% interest or whatever it is, or even 2% interest. All right, so leaving Ribit out won't work. So let's say the Torah left Onah out. We'd say Ribit and Gezel are not the way of normal commerce. The way of normal commerce is that prices go up a little bit, go down a little bit. So then I would say that Onah, there is no prohibition. But what the Torah really could have left out was Gezel. Meaning, I could have used Ribit and Onah and understood Gezel without the Torah having to say it. To my parchat, how would you challenge it? You would have said Ribit is a Chiddush, which is that even the lova violates it. So onah tochiach, onah will prove, because the victim is not guilty in the case of onah, only the perpetrator. So malonah shekein lo yadahu mochil. In the case of onah, we say that somebody doesn't know what's going on, and he's mochil the difference. Ribit tochiach. Right? So ribit disproves that. So chazar adin, what's the common feature? What's the common feature? Shekein goes low. You stole from another guy. Ribit, you took something that wasn't yours. Oh no, you took something that wasn't yours. Therefore, kal vachomer, gzela, which is bal korcho, etc., certainly is a violation. The Torah doesn't need to tell me there's an isur gzela. So Amri Achinami, the Beit Midrash, they said, you know, you're right. You don't really need for the Torah to write gezel. Allah be gezel amali. Why did the Torah say lo tigzol? The chovesh schar sachir, to add it to the prohibition of not paying a hireling in time. But there's an explicit law there, which is not allowed to oppress him. So the answer is lavor lavishnei lavin. It's there to teach you that there's two lavin when you oppress him. There's the law of lotashok and the law of lotigzol. Velokma beribit vona. So why don't we say that that this pasuk is really talking about ribit and ona, lavor lavishnei lavin, and to say that when you don't pay your hireling on time, you violate two lavin. which is ribit, let's say, or no, plus this, blah, blah, right? The answer is davala minyan, no. Because contextually we understand, because if you look in Parsha Kedoshim, where it talks about the prohibition of Vashok Schar Sachir, it follows right after the Isur of Gzela. Vinyana de Sachir Ktiv. Now, parenthetically, in that same line, we ask, Lo Tignovu Duchar Rochem Alamali. Why does the Torah have to say Lo Tignovu? Because after all, Lo Tignovu, which is the prohibition against burgling, is also the same notion as Ribit Anonah. Chatanya, the answer is, as the Torah says, Lo Tignov, which says in Aseret HaDibrot, Amanat Lemekat, means even if you steal just to harass somebody, you're going to return it. Lo Tignov, Amanat Lashal and Tashlum Kefil, even if you steal and you agree to pay Kefil, there's still a prohibition. Okay, so that's why the Torah says, Lo Tignov, even if your intent is not really to make him lose something, in the end he's even going to gain something, the act of Gnev is a problem. So he said, so why did the Torah write in Parsha Kedoshim there's a prohibition against using faulty weights? He said, that's there because, after all, using faulty weights is another form of taking something that's not yours. And therefore, it should be, again, assumed within the rubric of ribit, I don't know, etc. It's referring to a case where somebody buries his mishkalot in salt to change the weight of them, to alter the weight. So I know gezel maliyahu, that's regular gezel. So alav rala mishata siya, the answer is you violate it not just when you sell something and you use bad weights, but when you make the bad weight, you've violated it. That's why the Torah says mishkalot. Rabbanan, lo tasu avam mishpat, is the pasuk, pamidav mishkalot mamsura. The Torah says that b'mida, what's mida? Zumidat midirat karka. That's referring to measuring land, which is loyim dod leechad b'motach hamah leechad b'motach shemim. The problem is as follows: if you have brothers who are, let's say, dividing a field, so you don't measure one of them in the summer and use the same rope to measure in the winter, because in the winter because of the humidity and because of the dampness, the rope expands a little bit. You have to make sure you have a proper measure that's equal. What's mishkal? Shleit min mishkalotav b'melach. Yet min mishkalotav b'melach, as we said before, about weights. Vam sura. What's sura? Shelo yartiach. That's talking about with wine that you shouldn't boil up the thing to make it look like there's more wine in the barrel than there really is. V'advarim kal v'chomer. And now we learn a kal v'chomer. Ma misura sheyachad mishloshim v'shisha b'log. All it does is inflate it by 1/36 of a log. The Torah still says you can't even do that little bit of trickery. That you should be very careful not to inflate or give a wrong impression with a difference of a hin or half a hin or a third of a hin, etc., all the way down to revit, which is a small amount, but is, of course, nine times as much as this misura does, which is 1/36. Okay, Amarav, Alamali Dechata Rachmana Yitziat Mitzrayim B'Ribit. So why, this is a side point, when the Torah prohibited Ribit, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeicha. Yitziat Mitzrayim Gabi Tzitzit. Why does the Torah say, remind us about Yitziat Mitzrayim in the mitzvah of Tzitzit? Yitziat Mitzrayim Mishkalot. And why did the Torah remind us that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in the context of Mishkalot? So here's a beautiful drasha. Mark Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani Hu Sheivchanti B'Mitzrayim Ein Tipah Shel Bechor L'Tipah Shel Al Shel Bechor. In Mitzrayim, I was able to distinguish between a drop that created a bechor and a drop that created someone who's not a bechor. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to go house to house and kill only the bechorot. So that level of hashkacha and awareness, Aniu shati the parah mishu tolev autav benochriyim alveh autam liyisrael beribit. I'm that, remember that level of divine awareness. I am the one who is going to exact punishment from somebody who gives his money to a non-Jew and has him lend it beribit, in other words, uses a trick to get around and lend to Yisrael beribit, or one who alters his weight, and somebody who puts false dye into his garment that says it's tchelet. Somebody who goes on the cheap, in other words, doesn't want to pay for tchelet, so use this bad dye, Kala Ilan, also give Kala Ilan in Menachot, and says that it's Tchelet. In other words, that's why the Torah wrote specifically, remember Yitziat Mitzrayim, in the context of these mitzvot, when there's a very exactitude involved in the violation, and something that only the owner may know, Baruch Hu says, I know too. Remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. Ravina equal the Surah de Prat. He came to Surah, which is on the Prat. Amarle Rav Chanina Misura de Prat le Ravina. So Rav Chanina of Surah said to him, Tiat Mitzvah Nechata Rachmana Gami Shratzim Lamali. Why, and I put this on the page as the last pasuk, why did the Torah, in the context of the prohibition of eating shratzim, all the vermin, etc., why did the Torah say, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim? Amar le'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani u'shivchanti ben tipa shabachor le'tipa she'en l'shabachor, the same idea Rava said. I think the problem, Mishim arev kirvei dagim t'maim v'kirvei dagim t'orin v'chalim l'Yisrael. I will exact punishment from somebody who mixes dagim t'maim along with dagim t'orim, feeds them to you and sells them to Yisrael. Here you've got a bunch of kosher fish, and you don't have exactly the right amounts. You take a little bit of non-kosher fish, stick them in, and you don't tell them, I will come after him. Marle ana ma'alek hakashali. So he said to Ravina, what I was bothered by was the phrase hama'alet chemer tzitzvayim. Ma'ishnach ha'ma'alet echad rachmana. Normally it's hotzeiti, I took you out. Here it's I brought you up from Mitzrayim. Why in specifically in Shratzim? Marchavim b'shmuel. Tana Rabbi Shmuel amar kodesh baruch hu. Il ma'alei ha'aleti Yisrael b'mitzrayim el b'shvil davar zeh. Had I not brought Yisrael up out of Mitzrayim only for this one thing, to keep the laws of Shratzim, shemetam Shratzim dayai. That would have been enough. Why the schar here is greater than the schar of keeping tzitzit and not committing usury and not violating proper weights? That here it says haleti and there it's hotzeti. You're right. The schar is no greater. They are it's disgusting to eat these things. And the notion here is that it is a great ma'ala to Bnei Yisrael if they keep even this one thing, and that's a ma'ala et chemer et Yisrael. Okay, we'll pick up in the next podcast at Ve'ezu Tarbit, which will start looking at the example that the Mishnah gives of Tarbit with this particular problem of Marbeva Perot, and then in the podcast following, we'll start taking a look at the specific details of it with the wheat and the wine, etc. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day as we excitedly continue on our way of studying the fifth parak, Ezu Neshech.